Since we're going to go ahead and get the land use meeting called to order, we only have two small items on the agenda. And then we're going to be talking about the FEMA maps. Excuse me now. I'm going to go ahead and move through these for Councilman Bell because he's in a discussion down there and there are only two remainings. Do we got it, George?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Oh, I didn't think we did. Okay, let the record reflect Karen Hartley Nagel, Sheldon, Woods, and, or excuse me, I'm sorry. I always like to go Karen Hartley Nagel and Councilwoman Diller. My aide Valerie is taking the notes. Then we'll move to the gentleman. What was it? Sheldon, Woods, Street, and Smiley are with us. Motion on minutes.
Motion to approve the minutes.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Minutes are approved. So two quick remainings. How about the department have a little say on this?
Remainings are, so no.
Five corner.
Two for it. Yep, two street remainings, right? And county small, they can only get here if they're co-compliant and then been signed off by 911. So they're here. Okay. Well, the councilman joins us. If he'd like to add something, we will. All right, let's move right into the FEMA maps here now because we have something that's affecting probably all of our districts.
Make sure this is turned off.
Absolutely.
Yes. So good afternoon. My name is John Geisling. I'm a civil engineer with the Department of Land Use, and I'm also the floodplain administrator for Newcastle County. So FEMA calls this their discovery project. And essentially, it's a HUC 8 watershed, which is just the way that the U.S. catalogs watersheds across the country. So HUC 8 means there's 8 digits. It's not really important for this purpose. But you can see FEMA is updating flood maps by the HUC 8 watershed. So the HUC 8, the Brandywine-Christiana watershed, encompasses much of Newcastle County, plus a couple additional reaches.
John, how do you know where that watershed is?
The watershed is the yellow.
Oh, okay.
So it may not make total sense to you, but okay. For the purpose of cataloging watersheds across the country, for example, there's 20 HUC 2 watersheds, and then they winnow them down like puzzle pieces. So HUC 8 watershed is a convenient way of updating a set of maps, a series of maps. So the same work that we're doing here in Newcastle County, they're doing up in Chester County.
Well, that's the canal. You only left that little spot out. You should have just included
it. Yeah. But again, it's a boundary. So, yeah. And there's some additional reaches. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. So the primary purpose of the FEMA preliminary maps are to improve map accuracy. And that's done principally with use of the 2014 LIDAR topography. So prior to 2014, aerial flights were taken. New topography was generated for the entire state. So that topography is being used on these maps. And then we'll talk a little bit about the different studies that compose these maps. The other purpose is to incorporate previous map revisions and then the new studies. So here's an example of using the 2014 LIDAR topography. So before you had the existing flood map in the blue, for example, with the center line here. By application of the 2014 LIDAR topography, using the same base flood elevation, so not changing the flood elevation anywhere, the map is remapped here out to the green line. And what it does is correct some obvious areas where before the floodplain was overestimated and examples where it is underestimated here. This is just this isn't any particular place, just a graphical description of some of the work that was done. Now, this takes a little bit of time to explain, but in simple terms, there's two basic elements to preparing flood studies. You need to know how much water, that's the hydrology, and how high the water will go, that's the hydraulics. So these maps utilize a proven FEMA-endorsed method for developing regression-based equations. What that means is they take what they call basic characteristics like soil group, percent forest, impervious cover, and relate that to gauged streams where they actually measure the flow in those streams. and they come up with relationships, and they use those equations and those relationships, and they vary across regions to generate flows, which is the hydrology. So by doing so, we come up with a consistent approach to determining how much flow is coming down the watershed. The second piece is the how high, and that's the hydraulics. So the complete effort here with these preliminary maps is 148 stream miles of new maps. That's a lot of miles of maps. But they're in four different types of categories. So I'm going to briefly describe each one of those categories. The detail map, and that's the red, 12 miles, is a full featured study, which includes new hydrology, survey cross sections, measure the openings of bridges and culverts, and also depict a floodway, essentially down the center of the stream, and that has its own set of standards applied to the floodway. The limited detail does all the same things in the detail, except it doesn't depict the floodway. So there's 14 miles of those. The modeled back Zone A is new for us, and the unique aspect to the modeled back Zone A is that it shows up as an A zone on all these maps. So that's all that blue. You see it all over the place. See it all up in here. I guess that's the red clay, Brandywine. You see it? See it all over here. Middle Run, White Clay, Christiana, a little bit out here, and then certainly all down here through near the canal area. So I said it shows up as Zone A on the flood maps. However, there's an elevation in the background, and that elevation information is hosted on a DENREC website called the Delaware Flood Planning Tool. So you can go and get that information. You can get those elevations. However, there's a lot of limitations to the use, because how they do it is they estimate, they use the same hydrology methods, so they use the same how much flow, but they just take cross sections using the LIDAR topography. They don't measure anything in the field. They just take cross sections, and then they depict those floodplains all the way down through the stream corridor. So they'll tell you, you go on the website, and they'll give you all kinds of warnings, like if you're near a bridge, if you're near a constriction, you can't necessarily use this data, because it assumes it just goes over the top, okay? So that's a little bit, and there's 63 miles of that. That's the most. And it was also the cheapest to do. And then the fourth is the redelineation, and that is taking the same base flood elevations, exact same base flood elevations we have now on the current maps, remapping with the 2014 LIDAR topography. So we get that shifting that I saw showed you in the previous slide.
John, real quick. Let the record reflect Councilman Hollins and Councilman Bell has joined us.
All right, so now the important part. How does this affect the residents and the property in Newcastle County? So I generate these two slides just to kind of give you an idea of how many parcels are affected and what those effects may be. So this is very broad and it's categorical. So parcels affected, just over 5,000 parcels are affected. 2,153 see a reduction in flood hazard area. They might still have flood hazard area on their parcel, but there's a measured reduction of flood hazard area. The second one, 1,867, there's an increase in flood hazard area. So it's almost even. And then the third one, the 1,037, there's a minimal impact, and that is defined as less than 100 square feet plus or minus. So it gives you some idea. So, you know, we're adding flood area, we're subtracting flood area, and there's some minor change. The next slide shows how, from the standpoint of flood designation. So this is kind of really where the rubber hits the road. 1,185 parcels in the county are going to be newly into the flood hazard area. Significant, right? 850 coming out. Okay, and then the bulk, 3,033, no change. So if they were in the floodplain before, they're still on the floodplain. The areas may change, but the designation within the floodplain is consistent. Okay. Now, how do we use floodplain maps? How are they used? So they're used in local flood regulations and building codes. They're used to design bridges and other infrastructure in flood-prone areas. They're used by real estate buyers and sellers to understand flood risks and insurance rates, most importantly. They're used by lenders to comply with flood insurance purchase requirements. They're used by insurance companies to rate flood insurance policies. They're used by Newcastle County residents to better understand the flood risk, we hope. And they're used by property owners in flood-prone areas, which we have a lot, to better protect themselves from flood impacts. Where are we on the timeline? So, the preliminary maps were issued to us December 28, 2016. In early May, we sent out over 5,000 letters to all those affected residents I described a couple slides ago, and we gave them property information and invited them to an open house, which we held on May 23rd at William Penn High School. There, we had over 400 folks attend, and we received over 200 phone calls pre and post open house. So we've talked to a lot of people, and we still talk to people each day. Right now, we're working, and the number grows, about three people have submitted written comments to us that we forwarded to DENRAC, who is the generator of the maps, the technical partner, and we are working through those comments. We hope to work through those before the statutory appeal period begins, which we are assuming in September. It's not certain yet. So if that were to begin in September, it would extend to December of this year. And then FEMA would adjudicate all those appeals and issue to us a letter of final determination. That letter of final determination gives us 6 months to adopt a code-compliant flood ordinance. And if you remember, back in 2015, we did a strenuous review of our flood ordinance and revamped our entire ordinance to become a FEMA-compliant ordinance. So we'll have enough time during that 6 months to make any necessary changes we need to do. Then we expect the ordinance adoption sometime 1 year from now, and then we expect to get effective maps at the end of next year. Okay? So that's where we are in terms of. Now, it's a little washed out. I wish it was a little better.
John, Councilman
Shelton. John, before you, is there any phone numbers? You know, because even though you did a great job at 5,000, I didn't get it, you know, and I haven't been updated. Is there someone, who would they call in the county to be able to say, that wanted to go and repeal, you know, what
appeal?
They
would call me. They
just,
call
yeah?
Me. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Sure. We take those calls every day.
Yeah, but okay. Do you want to elaborate a little bit for Councilman Sheldon? Just how an appeal works, because they're not easy, they're very hard,
right.
And
so
most people don't win them.
Okay.
Oh, no, I agree with that. I don't want them telling me, how come you had this meeting? Well, you got it
right. Because I went through the whole thing.
Right, so we're working with, I told you, three folks now on comments. So the comments can be handled, more or less off the record, I think. So they're being handled by DENRAC and the contractor who prepared the maps. If they can find obvious errors in their calculations, then we can correct those before the appeal period or during the appeal period.
Right.
The statutory appeal period, you have to, and it's in a, like Mr. Councilman Tackett said, it's a high hurdle because you have to prove that the technical basis for which these maps were created is an error.
Right.
That's a high.
Well, I agree with you. I'm just waiting for the phone calls.
Yeah. So. And I apologize, this is a little washed out, but this was for the benefit of Councilman Kilpatrick. But first example, Southwood, it's an example of a redelineation. So even though Mill Creek was remapped with the 2015 maps, by application of the 2014 LiDAR topography, we get somewhat of a different result. And I wish it was a little more clear, but there's, you can see this, these hatched areas, the additional area here and here, and then some reduction of area here. So the difference between there and there. So it's the same base flood elevation mapped with the better topography. So you get a different result. The second example is a little clearer, and that's in response to one of Councilman Tackett's inquiries was Pleasantville Estates, Muddy Run. This is an example of model back day. So all these folks were previously not in the floodplain because this stream, which is a tributary to Muddy Run, exceeded the 1 square mile drainage area. Under FEMA guidance, it must be mapped. So now it's mapped. So all these folks are now in the floodplain, rear yards, etc. Those are my two examples. And to give us a little context to why we do what we do, this is a proposed subdivision called Cascade. So the previous subdivisions were recorded prior to the UDC. This subdivision is going through our process now. And you can see that the proposed, no lots are shown in the proposed floodplain. In addition to the floodplain, there's a buffer called riparian buffer, so it'd be 50 feet off of the flood line. And in addition to that, we have a freeboard requirement. So we're saying that any house or any structure built on any of these lots have to be a minimum 18 inches above the base flood elevation. So we all know flood maps can change, but the UDC provides some kind of buffer to existing, to communities developed under the UDC, so that we, so hopefully they can adapt to that future change. So next steps for us, accommodating climate change and future conditions. The current techniques reflect historical rainfall information. So the, when I said how much before, the hydrology, how much, that's based on a rain event, a 100-year rain event. And for Newcastle County, that's 8 inches in 24 hours. That's the basis. So if that when that information changes, if it changes in the future, those studies would be updated, but that might take 10, 20 years before that would happen. So we're dealing in an era of change. Recently, we've learned that the 30-year moving average for rainfall in Newcastle County has increased 4 inches in the latest period. So the latest period is 1980 to 2010, the previous period 1970 to 2000. So in that 30-year moving average, it increased 4 inches. So that's fairly significant. Doesn't mean that in the next hour, in the next period, 1990 to 2020, that may adjust again, may go down, but don't know. So we have a tendency towards less predictable and more extreme weather events. And current studies use tidal water surface elevations as a starting point. We run these simulations with these riverine floodplains down to our coasts. Well, we assume an elevation at the coast. So that's the mean high tide. And as surface waters rise or as the sea level rises, that number, that elevation will increase and we'll be backing into a higher elevation. Sea level has increased, this is a global calculation, about 3.2 inches in the last 15 years. And a 2012 DENREC study predicts sea level will rise, will be 8 inches by 2030 and 16 inches by 2045. And we did a study at Port Penn that reflects that and kind of predicts a future scenario for some of our coastal communities that is not that rosy. So with that, I am available for questions, and I left my contact information. I'm sure many of you know that, but I've also left the URL for the Delaware Flood Planning Tool, and it's a very, very good tool for both residents and anyone interested in. You can essentially pick a spot and it'll tell you what the flood elevation, it'll tell you whether you're in or out of the floodplain, and it's updated with all this information. So that, I thank you.
Yeah, it's a really nice map. If anybody hasn't had an opportunity to go and check it out, please do, because it's very informative. Councilman Smiley.
When is it anticipated, if it has not already, this information reach the insurance companies?
So when it becomes effective. So that's what happens. So it's almost like you're turning on a switch, right? So that's why you need to plan and prepare up until that point, because when it becomes effective, then all the rules apply.
I know I had to draw sites, everything was quiet, and then one home changed hands. And for whatever reason, that triggered that my house was then in the flood zone.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever handled that, that insurance company apparently sent out a bullet list, and their rates went up over 200% for flood insurance.
Right. So there's mechanisms to reduce your flood insurance premium and even opt out. There's letters of map amendment that you can submit. And yeah, we help folks all the time with those. Yeah, we have over 450 of them.
I mean, we had the meeting my point was it came out of nowhere, like almost overnight.
Well, the data is always there. So it's who's interpreting the data,
yeah.
Right? And who?
Well, there's no dispute in Duros Heights have a flood zone.
Right, right. So until someone looks, an insurance company, a mortgage company, until they look, mm-hmm. they might not say anything.
I mean, I knew Airport Road always flooded.
Right.
But the day when I was running for election, had I walked Duros Heights, and the guy had two jet skis tied up at his back door, he gave it a whole new meaning. I mean, and it's true to this day, he keeps two jet skis tied up at his back door.
Yeah. I bet.
Are we mandated by the law for you to be the keeper of these maps? It almost seems more logical that they would actually lie with DENREC,
we are a community under the National Flood Insurance Program. So as a community, we have responsibilities to maintain the maps. So it used to be paper maps, but now they're all digital. So we retain one set of paper maps and we kind of keep it protected. But all that same information is digitally available and it's shared. It's shared all over the place. So
So state law mandates that you're...
Well, no. To be federal? A community. So in order to get flood insurance, in order for any of our residents to have flood insurance, we have to be members of the... And we have to participate in the National Flood Insurance Program, and we have to meet their minimum standards.
Mm-hmm.
We go above and beyond those minimum standards. And I think we've talked about that
yep.
in some of the past. And I try to illustrate on that cascades of some of the UDC protections that we have in place. We go above and beyond those protections. We're also a CRS community, community rating systems. We get some reductions in our flood insurance. But as you, Mr. Smiley, correctly pointed out, flood insurance rates are going up faster than inflation. So, the discount is still there, but, if something goes up 25%, you get a 10% discount, you're still paying more money.
It is important to have this stuff handy. I mean, 3 years ago, there was a mass mailing to all the seniors, and I mean all of them, because I got the calls, in my community, Swamika Estates, telling them they were in a flood zone and they needed to purchase this flood insurance from them.
And I wonder who that came from.
We're nowhere near.
Right.
We don't know.
It didn't come from us, right?
So fortunately, they've listened enough in the past that the phone started ringing and I put it in the trash.
Mm-hmm.
And then I prayed our stormwater system wouldn't back up the next.
Right.
Flood their house.
Yeah, see.
But yeah, it was a scam. That's all it was.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, this isn't a scam. None of this is a scam.
Oh, we hope you're not.
Oh, I trust you.
We hope you're not running a scam. Just quickly, a scenario I had, which he showed you up on the map there a few minutes ago. The residents, the floodplain moved and took almost her whole backyard. So she called, and probably arguably so, she asked, could she have a reduction in her assessment because her property was valued at less now. And we went over, and I was over, and we had a discussion here, we had a discussion with Denny, and since we've not had a reassessment since 1983, although her property was probably devalued because the flood maps moved on, or the line moved farther into her yard, it still would not have devalued it further than a 1983 value. Yeah. So,
when you start looking at waterfront property values, then.
Yeah.
Well, good.
Questions? Any more questions or members of council?
Yeah.
Anybody from the public?
Motion to adjourn.
No, hold on. I want to give a big shout out to Doug Hookoff, because he actually was the man and stepped up and helped us through a couple of the items on the agenda in the absence of the other leadership and land use there. So, Doug, way to go, brother. Anything else? Nothing. Smiley.
Motion to adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.